to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 847-475-1590. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
I am Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you go to the Mighty House team page, you'll find a lot of great companies on there that can help you out. Just go to MightyHouse.net. Click on the Mighty House team page. Scroll through there. You'll find all kinds of heating and cooling guys, flooring people, yeah, all kinds of stuff like that. Good fun stuff to help you around the house. Right, Robbie?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
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 All right, cool. All right. 847-475-1590 is the phone number. And we're now joined by Kevin Talley, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And you're from AmeriFirst Mortgage. And just to be clear, you are a NARI member also.
I am.
NARIChicago.org.
National Association of the Remodeling Industry.
Correct. So it is contractors, but then it's also people like Kevin that come in to kind of round out what the whole thing is. So
right. He
helps out the contractors. The contractors then can help out the homeowners, and it all works together. So he falls in on the vendor side a little bit more, but you're still a member of the association. And that's... If you want more information, you'll go to NARI.org also, NARIChicago.org, and you'll find out Kevin's information there too. So you have a unique program. I mean, most mortgage people, they throw a mortgage down. Okay, here are the rates, sign here. You've got a unique program to offer homeowners.
Absolutely. renovation lending, as probably you saw in the faces of the people when we did the roundtable at NARI. Most of them, their jaws were on the table going, I had no idea this existed. That's pretty much the look we get when we do continuing education classes or go into real estate offices and teach that. It's a completely different way for that part of the industry to look at buying a home.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also a way for people that already own a home to remodel their homes because they think, well, maybe they don't have enough equity, enough cash. They can actually be put in a position where they can do the remodeling. And everything we do, lending base, is based on the after improved value, which is a unique concept to most people when they think of banking.
Is this similar to the construction to perm loan?
No, construction to perm would be for your new construction. This is homes that have been in existence for at least a year, have been occupied. And then for most of those, you will go in. Most of our purchases are foreclosures.
Okay, so let me back you up a little bit because we've talked about construction to perm. And I think a lot of the listeners that have been with us a long time know what we talk about that with the construction to perm. So it's basically where you're borrowing money to build something. And as you complete it, when it's all done, it just rolls into your end mortgage. So it's basically you don't borrow money, build it, and then go get another mortgage to pay off the construction loan. It's a one-shot deal. So yours is similar, but there's some differences?
One mortgage. So you think of it, when you go to the closing, think of it as two buckets of money. You're giving the one bucket of money to the seller, okay? And then the other bucket of money is with us. And that's your renovation/construction account, and that's where all of your costs are, all your construction costs, all your title updates, all of your inspections, your permits, your architectural fees. They're all in one bucket, and then we disperse that working with a construction consultant.
You're not just going to hand me a check for $100,000 and let me go?
Only you, Ron.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, that's actually a very key part. So you're saying you work through construction. Are you going through title companies then for disbursements and using sworn statements the whole nine years?
No, we do all that in-house. And most of your renovation lenders that know what they're doing, that's going to be done in-house for most cases. We service 100% of our paper, so not only do we get you to the table, we handle all the draw processes, all the title updates, and then we also service the loan at the end.
Why do we need a construction consultant? I'm simple.
Yeah.
I'm simple.
For a couple reasons. One is we need a second set of eyes on those bids. The average homeowner, when they call someone in to get a bid, they have no idea what they're getting. We require a very, very detailed bid to include the breakdown of labor and materials. And many contractors don't want to provide that detail, where we have a format through that construction consultant that he may even come in before the contractor gets there and sort of give them an estimate, because we look at that as a feasibility analysis, mm-hmm. to see if the project even works. Because if you think about it, if you're buying a house that's foreclosed upon, you almost need to know what your budget is. And then there's a whole nother topic here, which is dealing with the realtors need to be very well informed, because no longer are they just telling you, is this the right purchase price? They have to tell you what the after improved value is. Now you have your after improved value. You sort of know your budget. That's how you back into what you think your purchase price should be. And if you don't have a great realtor, a great contractor, and someone on the construction end that can be that second set of eyes, one of those numbers out of kilter ruins the entire transaction, and then you have people paying more for houses than what they want.
And then the other thing that he's talking about that I've always found to be a big thing to protect homeowners is when they're dispersing, when they're doing the draws, because they're handling them and updating title in that, they're requesting that the subs and their suppliers submit waivers showing that they've been paid. They can't lien your property. What people don't realize is that if Ron brings something to the job and you give Ron a check, he may or may not pay anything, but that person who he bought the material for doesn't have lien rights on the property because it was delivered by his truck. But anybody that delivers, like Apt Appliance delivers to your house, if the contractor doesn't pay Apt, they'll lien your house, and you're responsible for that. So they're making
even
sure
even if you've paid the contractor for
that. Yes, you've paid the contractor. It does not matter. You're responsible for it. So what they do is require these lien waivers to make sure everybody is getting paid during that disbursement. It's huge protection for the homeowners, and I'd suggested to homeowners to go to title companies just to do escrow accounts on when they're doing a $500,000 job. You know, they're like, well, how much money do you need? You know, like, don't give a contractor $100,000. Are you nuts? You know,
right.
See ya. Get back from Jamaica. I'm done building my house. I'll, you know, maybe come work on yours.
Right.
Right.
It's crazy. So it's a great way.
You disperse the money as the work is done, but then also up front, we also validate those contractors too and check out their references, their suppliers, their Better Business Bureau, their Dun & Bradstreet, all those things, because, again, we're protecting that homeowner, because the worst thing that can happen in the world is to get halfway through that project and then find out. I mean, there's two ways that contractors can mess up. They could overbid the project and then the client's way overpaying, but sometimes a bigger issue is they underbid the project to get the job. Mm-hmm. If it can't be finished on that budget,
well, we do it called creative writing. You know, I'm going to work on your house, I make big addition, and it's going to be $100,000. Mm-hmm. But nothing's listed. You have no idea what you're getting for that. So all the guy has to do in the state of Illinois is do some work on your house. He could put a shell up and you owe him all the money, and legally he does not have to finish, because he actually held up his end of the contract. It didn't say it was going to be finished. It didn't say it was going to have a pretty white toilet or a new bathtub. It said it was going to put an addition up. It's there.
Right.
I've seen it too many times here.
Yeah. So if someone was to come to you, Kevin, and say, okay, I want to do this, can they come to you with does it have to be their property that they're going to move into? Or could they just be wanting to do this to rent it out or maybe even to flip it? Or does this have to be their primary residence?
Well, a couple different products. The FHA 203K is what most people think of when they hear renovation lending. FHA loans are owner-occupied. Great product for multifamily units. You can, maybe you didn't know this, but you can buy up to a four-unit building with only 3.5% down of the acquisition cost, which
really
means the purchase price plus your entire renovation budget. Only 3.5% down on a four-unit. Plus, you're using the rental income to help you qualify. For investors, it's only currently right now, all I do is single family homes. But yes, obviously, an investor could hold on to that and rent it, or they could flip it. And again, your down payment is always based on that acquisition cost, which is the purchase price plus the renovation budget. And that's what we have to compare with that after improved value that our realtors give us to make sure that it makes sense. Because investors look at it a little bit different as we just cash.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those are cash borrowers, so they don't necessarily need this loan. People that have a ton of equity in their home or a ton of cash may not need this, but these are for those other instances.
Right.
Well, and I would say even if you had the cash, let's say you wanted to put $50,000 into your house, you had $70,000 in the bank, why do you want to use up your savings to do that? why not do something like this?
Yes.
Keep that money in reserve. You're going to qualify for the loan if you have that money sitting there, right?
Absolutely. And we talk.
I mean, how hard is that?
Well, the simple question is, are you making more interest or are you paying more interest?
Well,
absolutely. The way we answer that question is think about what do most people, they buy their home on a Friday afternoon, they hire the movers, and where do they go Friday night?
Yep.
They go to the big box store, they buy their appliances, and they start racking up their credit card.
Yep.
Do you want that next $20,000 to be in a loan in the fours, tax deductible on a 30-year note, or do you want it on a credit card that you may or may not be able to pay off?
Right. All right. Hang on, Kevin. Kevin from AmeriFirst Mortgage. All right. We'll be back right after this, and we'll talk to Kevin a little bit more.
Lots more.
Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Job was going smoothly, two more days and we'd be done. We came in right on budget, man, this job was so much fun. But I knew the fun was over when the client said, hey son, my wife and I've been talking, there's some changes we need done. That sink's just what we asked for, but my wife thinks we need two. So cut another hole in the counter, boy, should be an easy thing to do. I know we asked for stainless, but we prefer that it be white. The oven's on the left now, could you put it on the right? Why can't you
make up your mind?
We did everything you said, you've got to
make up your mind.
I can't read what's in your head, well I'm running out of patience.
And I'm running out of time, and you're running out of money, cause you can't make up your mind. Blue pastels, oyster shell, pink and Kelly green.
These just aren't the colors I saw in the magazine.
What's wrong? It took so long. It
seems like that to me.
Can't you do it in a week like Todd does on TV?
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check him out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts or previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. And find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our handle on Twitter is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call, 847-475-1590. You will have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. You can learn more at MrFloor.com. All right, there we go. And
oh, Todd, don't answer that phone. He's going to put these people up for a year.
Yeah?
Kevin?
Yes.
Go ahead, give us your information again.
Because then you're going to be bombarded.
See, we've been holding her off, Kevin.
Okay.
You thought this has been easy so far, didn't you?
So we have Kevin Talley from AmeriFirst Mortgage,
correct,
branch manager.
Yes.
AmeriFirst Mortgage is a nationwide company, isn't it?
We have offices, I think, now in 17 states, okay. Michigan-based.
Okay. So your branch manager down here, where's your office located and your phone number?
I have an office in Lamont and an office in Chicago. And then I'm also licensed in several other states, to surrounding states, to do business too.
Okay, excellent.
Because awesome. We're a national show too, you know.
Absolutely.
Okay. At least by internet.
Worldwide.
Worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Yes, worldwide.
Yeah. That's it.
And
okay.
How do people reach you?
Easiest is my email, ktally, T-A-L-L-Y, at AmeriFirst.com.
Okay.
Got it.
And your website, AmeriFirst.com?
Actually, our website is going to be changed over in about a week or two, but for right now, it's Talley, last name again, homeloans.com.
Okay, excellent.
And that's a lot of renovation information on that website. Awesome. For all the things we're talking about today.
Okay, now unleash the Kraken.
All right, here you go. I was going to say that.
Okay,
you've had it nice and easy so far.
Okay.
Back it up. If I have $70,000 in the bank, like Ron said, and I want to put $50,000 in renovating, why do I need a loan?
Are you an investor or an owner-occupant?
And why does it matter?
See?
Well, because investors typically want to buy as many properties as they can at one time. So how do they use less of their cash to make more transactions happen? Let's take a quick example.
Thank you.
You go to buy a $100,000 home.
Mm-hmm.
that needs $100,000 worth of rehab. As an investor, if you're going to use your cash, you need to write a check for $100,000, correct?
Correct.
You need another $100,000 to do the renovation.
Yes.
You come to me, you need how much? 20% of the $200,000. You only need $40,000. How many properties can you do with your $200,000 cash?
So now I could easily do
five of them.
That's right.
Yeah. I did that without calculating.
But why? Okay, so let's say I'm not an investor. Isn't my money, why would I want to pay you the interest instead of? Let's say I need $50,000. Mm-hmm. So I pay as I go. Mm-hmm. And then I put that money back in my bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why would I want to get it from you?
Think of these loans as acquisition loans rather than purchase loans. They are used to purchase a home. But if you can acquire a property, let's use the same example. We buy it for $100,000. The bid from the contractors, the entire renovation account is $100,000. Now we've got $200,000. The realtor tells us that, hey, we found a gem here because we had 100 cats in there before, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Based on the example earlier. The house is worth $250,000 afterwards. I can get by with as little as 3.5% or 5% down of the $200,000, purchase the home. It's going to be a little bit higher interest rate because it's a renovation slash construction loan. But when I'm done, I owe $200,000. It's worth $250,000. What am I going to do at that point?
Sell it.
Sell it. Or as an owner-occupant, I'm going to refinance it onto a lower interest rate, and I'm going to eliminate or reduce my mortgage insurance. How much money did I use of my own? I only needed the 5% to create a 20% equity position.
Boom, done.
That's what we teach.
No, Robbie's actually a little confused, and I unfortunately believe that's the problem with 90% of homeowners.
And that's fine.
No, and it is
no,
in some respects.
No, I mean, it's not good, but it's fine that you say that about me because it's true.
No, I mean, I can see your face. But
I own a home.
But that's just it. Most people get a home one way or another, and they make a mortgage payment. And, you know, remember, you used to have the deed burning parties, you know, when you finally paid it off, which is not even a good idea anymore to pay off your home. And you're sitting on a whole bunch of equity that you could be using to make more money so that you could have a more comfortable retirement. And it's not a matter of, you know, take all the money out of your house and go to the casino.
But why can't, what's wrong with just being content with the money I have instead of loans and paying off more loans? Why can't I just sit in the house that I have that I've already paid off?
You can.
You can do that.
But you're saying I should make more money, and put it to use making more money.
Well,
but I'm making more
it's
money.
It's there
and I'm
if you
more
need
interest.
It. No, you don't have to. It's there if you need to.
Do you want
or
that money?
Want to.
You can put that money in the bank and make what is that?
1% if you're 1%? Lucky. 0.5%.
In a savings account, put it in a coffee can in the basement somewhere. That's
you'll
fine.
Actually make better money in the coffee can than you do in the bank. Right
or how much would I pay you back?
So you could do that and be fine.
Right.
But a medical issue pops up, something else pops up. Now, boom, you got to use that money. That's gone. If you were investing in making that money work for you and not just sit in your basement in a coffee can, if it's out there working for you, bringing in more cash, then you can have more coffee cans in the basement.
Well, that cash can go so many other places, college education funds, retirement, all those other things that you're trying to plan for.
Boats,
if you can borrow money in
the
fours tax deductible or even in the fives tax deductible, yes, I agree. You pay back a lot of interest over time, but there's ways that you can learn to pay a little bit extra on your mortgage and create a huge drawdown of your principal just by topping off your mortgage every month, maybe $100. Mm-hmm. Makes a huge difference over the life of your loan. And it's what you do, just like with investing, it's what you do early on that makes the difference long term.
Okay, so now the real questions.
That was a
warm up.
That was a primer, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Should I sit down or stand up?
So the problem is, what they say is about a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. I have even less than that, but I want to do everything and know everything. Okay, so let's say, hypothetically, you look at Ron, like, holy.
No.
Shnikes.
Okay, let's say, how does this work? If a property is appraised at, let's say, $400,000, but the house is a dump.
Like the one down the street?
Okay, potentially.
Okay.
So can you buy it for less than it's appraised because you're going to have to put how much into that house down the street? I don't know. Let's just say.
Call it 100.
$100,000. Okay, so let's say the property is worth 100. So somebody's selling it. They're like, oh, this is worth $400,000. But you look at it and you're like, it's a dump. How can it be worth $400,000?
Well, you're looking at the end. Go ahead.
Right. If you look at the house and it was what we call a doll house, it would be worth $400,000. So what would you pay in this market with limited inventory?
And a completely done, nice
completely
walk-in,
done
move-in
dollhouse. Ready. You'd pay $400 to $410. You might even overbid because of the lack of inventory.
Mm-hmm.
However, if the house has mold, a bad roof, a crack in the foundation, cats, all those other things, the purchase price would be adjusted down for that because if you buy it, you're going to have to fix those items. So the whole trick here is to figure out what you have to negotiate it down to in conjunction with your budget to make this transaction worth the aggravation of doing a renovation project.
That because, nobody else wants to do.
That's right, because if you buy it for $300 and you put $100 into it and it's worth $400, unless that's a neighborhood that you absolutely have to live into, buy the dollhouse. It's not worth the hassle.
Unless it's sometimes, I don't know, you obviously can pick your own colors and things like that when you're doing it yourself. So there's some to be said for that, but I do totally agree with you that, yes, you got
$400. But take that dump house and put it in, say, Bucktown. Now, the property is worth $400,000. The house is a dump and needs $100,000. So can I say, well, you know, it's listed for sale for $400,000, but I know I have to put $100,000 in. Can I offer $300,000?
Then you would offer you'd offer $250,000.
$250,000.
$250,000, $200,000, somewhere. Start somewhere.
Yeah.
Then why are they listing it for $400,000?
Because
why not? I can
because
I
mean, most because unless me. Inventory is absolutely gone, which is what happened in 06, 07, where everybody was getting all crazy. Unless you have that situation, nobody ever offers you more.
Right, but
I could list your house for $5 million. I could get a realtor and list it, put it on the market right now for $5 million. Doesn't mean anybody's going to pay it.
But you might
is
get
it
lucky
appraised at $5 million, or are you just listing it? So the house is appraised.
Now you're a whole other subject.
No,
now you're talking.
No, this was what I was talking. No.
Market analysis versus.
I was talking that.
Well, you have two values you're talking about. One is the as is, and one is the after improved.
Right. So it's appraised at $400,000. It's appraised because of the land.
No, it's location.
I'm sorry. Because of location.
Market conditions in that
land.
Location.
And it does have a building on it, so that's worth some. In most cases, it's not a detriment to the property. There are cases where the actual building is.
Right.
It reduces the value of the property. But
so if a house is appraised or a property is appraised at $400,000 because of the neighborhood.
Right.
But the house is a dump and needs $100,000.
Then your market value would be $300,000.
Yeah, or
you're
less.
Putting $100,000 in, and maybe it's worth $500,000 because the market is going to determine both the as is and the after improved value.
So, if a house is appraised and listed at $400,000, that doesn't mean that somebody's going to get $400,000.
Absolutely not.
Right.
And I know that people can undercut a little bit.
No, you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta remember, in real estate, it's just like doing a radio show. Nobody's going to get hurt. The worst they could do is say no.
Right.
Yes, we divide the repairs or the improvements into three areas. When that consultant comes in or your contractor who is good, they're going to identify, hey, these are health and safety. These are mandatory. You got to do these or you're not going to get past the village, nor should you. It's not going to be safe.
All right, Kevin, stick around one more segment. All right, cool. We're going to take another break. We'll finish up with Kevin right after the break. You are listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return. Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
I don't care if the mic's on. We're talking about weight loss. Kevin's lost 92 pounds.
I am Ron Calvillo. The Mighty House team is back.
Veggies and water.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. You can find them all at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And we're talking with Kevin Talley, and he is the branch manager of AmeriFirst Mortgage. And we were
Talking about his weight loss.
Robbie was grilling you about how these things work and, you know, and
loans.
How the loans work. Now, if somebody owns their house and they need a kitchen remodel, they need a bathroom remodel, can you still help somebody out like that?
Absolutely. We love doing that, too, because, again, they're going to call that contractor in, and they're thinking in their head, I've got this $80,000 remodel. Suddenly, realistically, it's $120,000 to get everything done that they need. They may have had that $80,000, maybe even had $100,000 in the bank that they could do that, but then they look at it and go, I don't know, I can't do it.
I have no safety net.
I have no safety net, and I also can't really do this. And then how long is it going to take me to save up that other $40,000 to do this? And as long as interest rates are pretty low, why don't we talk about refinancing my home, putting it all into one loan again, paying off the existing lien, but then giving you that other bucket of money to do the renovation project?
Now, are there limits? Can you do jumbo loans, which are the bigger loans? Or
I don't personally do jumbo loans at this time, pushing for it, but your conforming loan limit is $424,100 in pretty much all the counties around here, and your FHA is in the 365 range.
Okay.
That's got to be hard to deal with considering the property values up here.
Yes,
all.
The North Shore is much more difficult. Yeah. We've done some in Evanston and Skokie, but obviously there are some communities where you're priced out unless you have that jumbo.
Yeah, because I'm from the South Suburbs, and that'd work fine for me.
Yeah, no problem.
No problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but that's something I think we needed to talk about, too, to make sure that not everybody's going to qualify for this, right?
No, that's going to be the same credit standards pretty much that they would have to purchase on a regular loan. The difference is instead of them going to get the proverbial HELOC or home equity loan, mm-hmm. or using a credit card to do these things, we're allowing them to put it into their overall mortgage.
Okay. Well, yeah, and that's why like the box stores love to give you 10% off when you get that new card, because that 10% is fine, but if you don't pay it off right away, you're getting nailed at 22% interest. That's right. A one-month investment from them. The return is ridiculous. So I mean, it's crazy how people get, I don't want to even say tricked. I don't know why they just don't think things through sometimes.
They fall for, well, I can remodel your kitchen, right? And you don't have to pay for the cabinets, you don't have to pay for the labor, you don't have to pay for the financing, right? Isn't that what the advertisers say? There are advertisers out there that will remodel your kitchen, and you don't have to buy the cabinets, you don't have to pay the labor. Well, you're going to have to pay somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the price is the same. It's just a gimmick that gets the phone
I get
going.
It, but it saddens me that it's so effective.
Yes. Because if it didn't work, they wouldn't be doing it.
Right.
It's just that simple.
Because it's just so wrong. And when you sit there and try to explain to somebody how much money they're actually wasting, mm-hmm. that could have been turned into better products for their own home or better labor.
Yeah.
You know.
Energy items.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how we met.
Right.
I mean, you start thinking in these loans, you think of $1,000 in terms of $6 a month. How much is a furnace? How does that equate to lowering my bill? Your furnace, that way your furnace is free.
Right.
And that's how I explain it to any of my clients, too.
Now, you can do energy upgrades with this program?
Absolutely.
So if somebody wanted to have a blower door test, does it cover the blower door test? And then all the air sealing, the insulation, the upgrade furnace and water heater, all that stuff can
absolutely
get rolled into?
It can be rolled into the loan. And then obviously they're paying a little bit more in answer to the other question, but at the same time their monthly utility bill may go down more than what their mortgage payment went up.
Yes. And we've cut people's bills in half doing energy audits and air sealing and stuff.
And when you say that, I mean you're talking a $200 or $300 a month savings.
Yes.
And the loan you took out just raised your payment $60 a month.
Yes. It's money
so,
in your pocket.
So, you know, you're netting $160 a month, you know, that's $1,400 a year easily, and, you know, that could be your insurance.
Right. Yes. Okay, give us your information again, Kevin.
Well, my information is AmeriFirst Home Mortgage. My email, ktally, T as in Tom, A-L-L-Y, at AmeriFirst.com. And the best place for our website right now is www.tallyhomeloans.com.
And if you listen and sign up for our newsletter through Facebook or on mightyhouse.net, then his information's there.
Yep.
And you have direct links for there. And my ongoing tip of the week that's going to take a while. We have that on the blog page.
Yes.
The whole written. But, yeah, Kevin, it's awesome. This is great information. No, I didn't know that product existed.
So let's move on now. You hear the big thing now. The feds are going to raise interest rates. Home loans are going to go through the roof, and nobody's going to be able to afford a house.
Yeah.
Where do you guys see this going as for your company? Is this going to slow down things? Is it going to affect you guys at all? How does this all work?
Well, I think there's two sides of that. Obviously, if the interest rates are going up, which most people, I think, are predicting that's where the way they're headed, the assumption is that the economy is going to continue to recover. So those things will offset as people's wages go up. Yes, borrowing is going to become a little bit more expensive. And that's just a checks and balances thing. Now, when the Fed talks rates, that's your rates when you have a home equity line and it's prime plus. That's that right. Prime rate. A lot of times our mortgage rates won't react that day to a hike in the Fed rate because the bond market is already taking all those things into consideration in how they're speculating and pricing the bonds and doing all that. That's what affects what you would consider a 15 or a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
So do you really watch that as much or as other people or not?
I don't watch it as much because, again, with my renovation lending, I'm trying to re-educate people and trying to purchase homes and create equity.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is an acquisition loan, in many cases, I'll price the loan even higher so that I can pay their closing costs on that first transaction because they know they're not going to keep the loan. So why pay $6,000 or $7,000 in closing costs just to turn around and refinance your loan 6 to 12 months later? You just as well let me eat that in the interest rate, pay $100 more a month in your payment. You know, if you do the math, 6 times 100 is 600 versus 6,000. It makes much more sense to do it that other way.
And that was always the benefit when we were doing new construction, the construction to perm loans. It was always the benefit because you didn't have to refi it when you were done, and you know it was you weren't going through all that stuff twice. So
yes,
fees.
And if you have people who really don't understand what's going on,
like their phone ringing all the time.
Come on, people.
they don't know where you are.
Not everybody.
No, your friends don't know. Wait.
You know, it could be one of those, can you hear me now? I'm having trouble. Can you hear me?
Got it.
Yeah, yeah. So you're very patient with people, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I really feel like many times I'm in the education business, not
you
the
have to be
business.
Because you get people like me who've been always told, save your money, save your money, save your money, save your money. And now you guys are saying, invest your money, invest your money, invest your money.
No, that's up to you. It's up to personal risk and where you want to be in
life
and what point.
I know, but, you know, it's like we're talking about hoarding, you know. It's emotional. Save it. You might need it. You might need it. You might need it. Don't borrow money. That's mm-hmm. bad. I'm not saying, you know.
Well,
that's what I've always been told.
Right. Don't overborrow.
Don't borrow.
Yeah, that
it's bad.
Well, and it's, I think, like the last recession. I mean, that's what the problem was. There were so many people that bought houses that should have never gotten loans. They overpurchased. You know, they couldn't afford it. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a house, but you surely don't need the $475,000 house when the $225,000 is affordable and adequate. If you want the $450,000, you need more money. That's, I mean, it's that simple. So
right, and the other thing they were doing was stated income, which can we
We could go on and on about how that whole thing happened.
Can we do stated income?
The bigger issue, rather than stated income, was the hybrid products that allowed you to pay negative interest or deferred interest that mm-hmm. allowed people to stretch more. Stated income, really in Illinois, you can't do that right now. But for self-employed people, it has become.
It's brutal.
Very difficult
sure.
to buy anything right now because whatever number is on your 1040 or your 1120, whatever it is, that's
right.
the number
See
we
that,
use.
And that's the only reason I benefited because I was set up as a C Corp. So I put myself on a salary and got dividend each year. So I didn't have to use stated income. I had an actual
salary
sure. as the president of the company. And that was my saving grace and probably the biggest reason why I managed to get through better than a lot of guys, a lot of my friends.
Yeah. And you need that steady paycheck. You need to show that. And for any, that's construction, that's any small business person,
yep.
a small business
sure.
owner. They
sure.
have that issue of being able to qualify for
A lot of very good builders went out of business, and it wasn't because they weren't awesome builders and weren't
right.
awesome people. They just
right.
got, they had a little bit too much out on a credit line, and the
yep.
bank said, I'm done with the credit line. And they were like, what do you mean? I have 4 spec homes that I'm sitting on, and it collapses
right.
in one day.
Mm-hmm.
I had a neighbor of mine. That was funny is that he had a personal line of credit or a line of credit on his house for his business, and we got a letter from the bank saying, you know, due to the market conditions, we're, you know, you no longer have a line of credit because we can't guarantee the value of your house. And then like a week later, got a letter in the mail with the annual renewal fee for his line of credit. It's called, you know, you don't really expect me to pay this, right?
Right. Yeah. But that kind of stuff was happening back then, and I think the rules and regulations are a lot stricter now. You can't pull a lot of that stuff off anymore, but You still, there's still great opportunities out there, and that's why I think circling back here to your product, it's unique because you can go in, get a loan for the improved amount, and you're done, right? That's, you're not having to go get a loan, go get another loan, and then try and figure this all out.
Try to bring them back together at
right.
the end. No.
And you guys handle it from the original loan, the of end value. You guys do the appraisal work, all that stuff,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
And then you actually have somebody that comes in and does the inspection to make sure the work's done before you pay out?
Absolutely. That's all very regular. And again, it's key just to choose to have good appraisers, really good appraisers on staff, because they're now appraising homes that they physically can't look at. They're doing it subject to the repairs. And as you know, it's hard to find appraisers that understand the value of energy improvements.
Yeah.
So how
do you
build
that? Yeah, he knows
that
all too well.
Yeah. No, I got burned on a project like that. Yeah. Yes. We lost some money on it. That's just because I overimproved.
Yes.
Not in anything other than energy efficiency.
Until right. everyone goes to HERS ratings and yeah. you're able to compare apples to apples and say, this is why this house is worth more.
Yep.
Until we get to that point, it's
the
good.
Gas bill,
HERS rating.
The gas bill.
Home energy rating scores, it's coming in the future. It's the same as on your appliances. You got that, you know, your energy guide on your appliances. Your house is going to have one.
Yep. All right, Kevin, your information one more time.
KTally at AmeriFirst.com, website www.tallyhomeloans.com.
All right, I appreciate your time today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, we'll be back right after this with Mike Novak. You're listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. You can find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. All right, Mr. Novak is in the studio along with Peggy, and you guys are...
Do you want us to go down the block and take the little machine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we go on
go
a
rate
tour?
The yard.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll go out and play with some leaves out
yes.
there and rake something and give you a report from
yes.
outside.
Yes.
And...
Except there's a dusting of snow and everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's true. I was surprised. They got up. Look at that. How about that? Snow in Chicago in the winter. Go figure.
And, of course, the loaner I got is a free loaner, so not one to complain.
Right.
So the scraper I used this morning, you know, no gloves because I don't own gloves anymore.
Right.
Yeah, so I just wipe all the windows down.
Well, you don't use your work gloves? Throw those babies on, right?
I don't use work gloves.
No.
I'd rather.
So, anyway, Wednesday, I think we had some snow on Wednesday. Some pretty big flakes. It didn't really stick much.
No.
But
I figure Rich comes back to town and we get snow.
Comes,
yeah.
Yes. But it'll be 60.
Nicely done,
it'll
Mr.
Be 60
Florida.
Tomorrow.
Hey, it's nice. That's fine.
You're leaving tomorrow and it'll be 60.
No, I'm going to hang out.
That's right. We're in this little roller coaster thing here. Just.
But to see
brutal.
Snow. It was almost like a relief on Wednesday when I started seeing snow. I'm driving and there was some snow, and I felt this like sign of relief. It was like, good, winter's back. This is what it should be.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you had that feeling. I've never been so excited to see snow since I was probably 10.
I'm really kind of disappointed because I like snow. I think snow's fun. It's
oh, yeah.
kind of, it's why you have winter, okay, if
right.
you're not going to have snow. And at the beginning of the season, I don't know if you remember, all those news articles saying, we're going to get snowmageddon this year.
Uh-huh.
I want those people, those reporters in the studio here,
right.
okay? Come on. Tell me all about that, all right?
Yep. No, it didn't happen at all. It didn't happen at all. So
yeah. And even and DeMaio, I don't know, I'll ask him again today, but I don't know, it was last week or the week before, he said, I still think we're going to get some snow before the end of the season.
It's measurable snow coming.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, I think he was saying we would have our full snow amount.
Yeah. That we would make up for the lack. That's we'll see. You know. I don't know.
Hopefully I'm back on the beach before then.
Oh no, you're
But I do
here.
Love I mean I do. I miss the winter and all that. I don't miss the working in it.
Right.
I mean, I 35 years going out shoveling decks and stuff, so snap lines and frame walls and, you know, so trust me, as soon as I got out of the plane at Midway the other day, my nose started running, my left wrist started hurting, my right knee got stiff. You know what I mean? It's like, I paid my dues.
Yeah. On the other hand, though, you guys are in the construction business and the home improvement business. Isn't that some of the income, the plowing and shoveling and doing that stuff?
Not me.
I stopped the plowing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good year to do it.
Yes, I stopped. You know, this was the first season I didn't plow. And
really? Well, yeah, you did pick a good year.
Yeah, well, I'm done. I've been plowing since 92, and I was like, forget. I just don't want to do this anymore. I think I want to sleep at night. And so.
Well, that's true, because you're out there at 3 a.m., right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Got to get the parking lot done before.
And then still run the business when the sun comes up.
Right.
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 So, yeah,
that is pretty brutal.
I'd go 3 days without sleeping because, a constant snowfall, and we're constantly going and go 3 days.
You can always sleep for the 3 hours of the show here.
Exactly.
Yeah, we were also a lot younger then. So
yes.
3 days with no sleep was possible. Now it seems like one night could be fatal.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So I want to know, can I start planting my tomatoes yet?
Yes.
Can I? Okay, so I can
go right out there. Set them out there right now.
No.
No. Can I start them? Can I get the starters going?
Yeah. You know, we're getting to be that time. You back time it, okay? It's actually a little early because, how big do you want them to get indoors? Usually like 8 weeks worth or something like that. So if you're back timing, and I tell people don't plant them outside until June 1st.
Right.
Because you could get them zapped. No matter how warm it is in February, you could get really hurt in May.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you look at June 1st as your start date, your back time from that 2 months is the beginning of April. So you probably got another 3 weeks before you really have to think about germinating your seeds. That's about right,
yeah.
Peggy.
Yeah. I started things like kale, lettuce last week.
Oh.
And the kale's about this
high.
Do
you have to eat that?
Oh, I love kale.
Oh, okay.
I bet I could make kale that you would love.
Really?
Yes.
I got
a
couple of
dishes. Do you put chocolate
on
it or something or what?
Oh, come on. Well, I haven't tried it, but I bet you could.
Yeah. Chocolate dipped kale, then that might be all right.
Yeah. Or kale chips. You know, you can do the kale chips that, if you're just looking for your salt.
Fry them in bacon fat.
There you go.
There you go.
And roll it in chocolate.
Done.
So flower seeds, we can start all the flower seeds now?
Again, it depends on, what flowers are you talking about. But sure, why not?
It just seems, I don't know, it always seems like this is the time where I normally do it, but then halfway through this thing, they all get wilted and stuff, and then I end up having to restart them because I started them too early. So that's why I keep bugging you.
What do you mean wilted
this.
Or leggy? Are you talking leggy? Leggy is what you say.
They don't have enough light.
Yeah. Well, they get tall. They get about 4 or 5 inches tall, but then I don't know if maybe because the cup we were growing them in, there's not enough root.
Well, are they on the windowsill? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you don't have a light. Get one of your shop lights and put it
No, I got this LED thing. What's that LED light?
Oh, the happy leaf.
I got
happy
one of those.
Happy leaf grow light. Well, this is going to be a different year for you, though.
Did you register that thing?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Okay.
And happy leaf grow light, huh?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, it's
No. They're sponsors.
Just sounds good to me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, you're going to find it's different. They're going to be bushier. They're going to not be as leggy because of the light frequencies.
Okay.
Yeah. Tell us about preventing the legginess when we do indoor.
Well,
get
a happy leaf LED.
Okay.
Or if you've got one of those shop lights, fluorescents that you use, you got to keep it like a couple inches right above the plant. And then as the plant grows, you move it up so that it...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why... Why? Why
well,
don't
Well, because that's why I gave up starting plants in the house, because they were always leggy, stupid. I just never understood
Because there's not a lot of power in those lights, okay, in a fluorescent. That's why you've got the happy leaf. It's got the... It's adjusted for growing frequencies.
Okay.
And if you're like 6-8 inches, your shop light is above your plant, your plant's now going to get leggy and it's reaching for...
It's trying to reach the light.
Right. And you just want to put it right there because there's no heat to worry about, so you put it right above it.
And it pushes out instead of going up.
Exactly. And you can always pinch back, too,
if
you want to make your plant bushier.
I never had enough
plant to pinch.
Yeah.
Another
thing, once they start getting taller, that I found works is having a low-powered fan.
blowing on them and it gets them stronger.
Yes, yes. That's, you want a little bit of wind resistance because that's the natural outdoors. They have wind and it makes the plant sturdier. So get a little fan in the corner of the room going and that will help your plant.
Somebody once told me every time you walk by, you just ruffle them.
That's, you could do that with your tropicals in the house too, house plants. Yeah, you know, just grab it, shake it for a little bit. Okay, move on.
Plant abuse.
I hate you, I hate you, I hate you.
Always talk nice to them.
Yes.
Otherwise, they grow barbs.
But no, that's a really good point.
All right. How'd you like to lower your electric bills 50 or even 95%?
Yes.
Homeowners and businesses across Chicagoland are doing exactly that today by installing solar energy systems. I'm Ron Cowgill, and the great news for Chicago's number one solar company is Solar Services. Solar has never been more affordable. Federal tax credits
foldable.
Pay. Yes. Up to 30% of the cost of your system, plus there's especially new incentives that can double or triple your energy savings for the next 5 years. These incentives are limited, so you must act soon. Solar Service, a proud partner of Solar World. Solar World solar panels are manufactured in the U.S. and are the highest of standard quality, performance, and durability. Cash in on the sun. Call Solar Service today, 847-677-0950, or visit solarservice.com and get their solar advantage. Let Solar Service turn on the sun for you. That's 847-677-0950, or visit solarserviceinc.com. All right, we got to get out of here. What are you doing?
That was a good live read. Yeah. You can tell it was live.
Yes, it was. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net and on iTunes. Thanks to everybody that called in today. Keep it square and level.
Until next Saturday.
If you have any questions during the week, you can always post them on Facebook and Twitter. Join us next Saturday for more home infotainment. Mighty House is a Square and Level Media production.
Mighty House.